and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr., where it is time for some more empowerment. McFadden and Whitehead declaring, ain't no stopping us now. I'm playing this for everybody who needs to be empowered. Our ladies who are saying no more. No more of the madness that's happening behind the scenes. People of color saying no more of this. We've got to move forward.
Held us down, but now it looks like things are finally coming around. I know we've got a long, long way to go, and where we'll end up, I don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're putting our show together, we're polishing up our act. And if you've ever been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore. Well,
don't you let nothing, nothing stand in your way. I want you to listen, listen
to every word I say, every word I say.
Ain't no stopping us now.
I'm telling you, I mean it when I say I'm so glad that people are being held accountable for what they've been doing to women behind the scenes for years and years and years.
Ain't no stopping us now.
Devastating them emotionally, mentally, their self-esteem taking a hit because of the sexual harassment that's been taking place for so long. Man, thank you so much, those of you who do care and say this is wrong, it's got to stop. Men who have been participating, stop. Women who have been participating, oh yeah, because we know it happens that way too. Women who have been sexually harassing others, stop. We've got to care about each other. So many people, both genders, who are saying we got to put a stop to this sexual misconduct, which shows up in so many forms. We've got to at least reduce it. We've got to do something about it. We've got to hold people accountable. And for the many people who are also saying, hey, listen, you know what? That's not the only kind of mistreatment that needs to be addressed. But the mistreatment of oppressing people to prevent them from going where they should be going in business, in ministry, you name it. So many people of all ethnicities saying this is wrong. It's got to stop. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, everyone who's saying we're going to speak out against this. Colin Kaepernick, thank you for so much for helping to bring to the attention of the nation the importance of taking a right position against wrong. That's right, Colin Kaepernick helped us with this by pointing out the mistreatment of people of color, which is at least as prevalent as the mistreatment of women. It all needs to be dealt with. Let's take a look at a way that this is being dealt with, sexual misconduct, which again shows up in many ways. People groping people, and I'm saying people groping people now because I also know for a fact that women do grope men too. The sexual misconduct that shows up in the form of rape. The sexual misconduct that shows up in the form of forced kisses and in so many other ways. And from what we're hearing, sexual misconduct seemed to have been running rampant within the Dallas Mavericks organization. And courtesy of Black Enterprise, I want to share with you something that's taking place to correct that situation, to turn it around. And I am applauding the owner of the organization, Mark Cuban, as well as the person he has put in charge of turning that situation around, Cynthia Marshall. It's important, ladies and gentlemen, for us to think about the people who are doing what they're doing, who have been put in position to make significant changes within an organization. But it's also important for us to recognize the people who put them in those positions. And in this case, we have a white man, Mark Cuban, owner of the Dallas Mavericks organization, who is putting into place someone who, as of February, was being called interim CEO of the Dallas Mavericks, Ms. Cynthia Marshall, the one who is being tasked with turning things around and dealing with this culture of sexual harassment against women within the organization. Meeting with the Mavericks for the first time a few months ago, she laid out a plan, and it included completing the internal investigation that had already been launched by Mavericks owner Mark Cuban. I know some people might be thinking, okay, so the owner of the team launched an investigation. Yeah, we hear about investigations all the time. And a whole lot of time when people talk about launching investigations, all they want to do is say we did something, when in reality, they're not trying to get anything done. The process begins and ends with the investigation. That's not what seems to be happening in this case. Mark Cuban sent out a call to Ms. Marshall. And when you hear about her credentials and who she is as a person, you're probably going to have the impression that I have, that Mark Cuban is serious about this. He'd already launched an internal investigation about the sexual harassment within the organization. And so she's overseeing the completion of that investigation. But she's also personally meeting with each of the organization's 141 employees. And she's formalizing a detailed process for transforming the organization's dysfunctional culture and refining its operational effectiveness with an emphasis on all systems and policies that are related to reporting and addressing employee complaints. Isn't it interesting that we can turn on the TV and watch these exciting basketball games? In this case, those that include the Dallas Mavericks. And, oh, we see all that excitement. We watch the owner on the sidelines expressing his emotion as the game is going forward. We're watching great plays, and we're all excited about the game. And through no fault of ours, to any of the spectators, to any of the viewers, whether live, courtside, or on TV, we don't even think about drama going on behind the scenes. Mark Cuban got word of this, and this man, it's important to keep this in mind now. You all know this is the program where I encourage the celebration of diversity. I encourage us to come together, celebration of diversity while promoting harmony. And while it is true that we have a lot of people, male and female, with men being the ones most prominently discussed, perpetrating sexual harassment, it's important, it's significant to take note of the fact that a man is the one who has really taken the initiative here to turn this situation around at the organization that he oversees. Hats off to you, Mark Cuban. I mean that. And I think it's so remarkable that he called in a lady and put her in a top position to oversee the process of turning this situation around. All eyes will now be on Marshall as she attempts to manage both the fallout and the rebuilding of this beleaguered NBA franchise. Once the first African-American cheerleader at UC Berkeley, the telecommunications veteran is now the NBA's first woman CEO. And keep in mind now, this pivotal moment was put into play by a white male. A black woman is the NBA's first woman CEO, and she was put in that position by a white male. And I say she was put in that position. She was asked by the white man, Mark Cuban, to take on that position. And so you're going to hear how this all played out, you know, how Cynthia Marshall came to be placed in that position. I think it's extraordinary, but she points out that changing industries can be difficult under normal circumstances. And we're talking about changing industries. Remember, she was with telecommunications for quite some time. And Kathleen Francis says, you know, points out that, you know, it can be difficult changing industries under the best of times. But when you're talking about under these situations, but here's the thing, Kathleen also points out that there are going to be a lot of people rooting for her, and there are going to be a lot of people available to help her with that transition. Kathleen Francis, by the way, is the chair and president of Women in Sports and Events, which is the leading voice and resource for women in the business of sports. So this is where she is now. Marshall is noted for being a quick thinker, a straight talker, and highly respected leader who is senior vice president, human resources, and chief diversity officer at AT&T before she retired in 2017 to launch her own consulting firm. As I mentioned, she had been in telecommunications for a while. In fact, for more than 30 years, more than 30 years of telecommunication experience. In addition to HR, she's held positions in operations, network engineering and planning, and regulatory external affairs. Admittedly, Marsha says she's never experienced sexual harassment herself, which raises a question. Would any of you say that Cynthia Marshall really would not be the ideal person to oversee the process of overturning the sexual harassment culture at the Dallas Mavericks organization simply because she has never experienced sexual harassment? And let's assume that she's right about that. I know that a lot of times we humans can be real quick to pass judgment on someone else's comments and claims about themselves, whether it's what religion they are or what have you. In this case, she's saying she's never experienced sexual harassment. I know some of you listening may be saying, oh, yeah, right, sure she hadn't. She probably experienced it and just didn't realize it. I'm just going to assume that Cynthia Marshall is intelligent enough to know whether she has experienced sexual harassment or not, and is honest enough to say that she had experienced it, if indeed she had ever experienced it. She talked about something else that was a part of her life that was not something that would be desirable in anyone's life. I'll tell you about it in a minute. She says she's never experienced sexual harassment herself. From the minute she walked into AT&T in 1981, when it was just, quote unquote, the phone company, safety was critical to the culture, and it took precedence over everything else. And she's saying they need that same kind of mindset everywhere in corporate America. Some people think it's just the nature of work, the nature of companies, for members of certain groups to be harassed and made to feel uncomfortable or compromised in some way, whether that group is the female group or the black group or the Hispanic group or the group that did not come from an Ivy League school. No group. There is no law that says any group has to be harassed in any way. That is a choice that people make. People choose to harass others. And usually that comes from out of the darkness of their own souls. It comes as a result of who the harasser is. It says more about the harasser than about the harassed. It's like I shared with you all years ago when I was talking about slavery and how terribly, how inhumanely so many slave owners treated their slaves. And I pointed out then that the way those slave owners were treating those slaves said much more about the slave owners than it told us about the slaves. These people who are harassing on the job, whether it's racial harassment, sexual harassment, you name it. Their decision to harass tells us much more about them than it tells us about the people they harass. And Cynthia Marshall says, no, it doesn't have to be this way. In almost 36 years of work, she says she never felt that she was being sexually harassed. And so based on that 36-year experience, she knows that it is possible to work in an environment that is free of sexual harassment. She's a San Francisco Bay Area native, and she was actually on a visit to her hometown when her phone rang. You know, I told you all a little earlier, I was going to let you know how everything played out, that Cynthia Marshall came to be the one placed in this position to oversee the turning around of the climate, the culture within the Dallas Mavericks organization. The phone call was coming from a former colleague who was calling on behalf of Mark Cuban, who was eager for the opportunity to speak directly with Cynthia Marshall. Cuban was facing a crisis, according to the colleague, and this colleague told Cynthia that she was uniquely positioned to be helpful to Mark Cuban. Now, Mark Cuban saw Cynthia Marshall as being uniquely qualified to deal with this situation. I want to go back to the question that I asked you all before. Do any of you think that Cynthia Marshall really was not the ideal person to deal with this situation since she's never been sexually harassed herself? Is it really necessary to have been a victim of sexual harassment in order to properly and thoroughly, adequately, wonderfully deal with that type of situation? In a week that was dominated by headlines on that horrific Parkland, Florida school massacre and Russian indictments, Marshall hadn't yet heard about the scathing expose on the Mavericks organization that was published by Sports Illustrated, tipping off the latest sexual harassment scandal in corporate America, and not only one of the latest, but one of the worst. Let's look into this some more. This is Power Friday on Black. Let's look into this some more in just a few. This is Power Friday on Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. And today I'm talking about a few items that have to do with what's happening within the Black community within America the Beautiful. Starting off by talking about a tremendous situation where we have a white man placing a Black woman in charge of overseeing and overturning, turning around a negative culture of sexual harassment within the Dallas Mavericks organization. We're also going to be taking a look at some books that millennial entrepreneurs may want to consider reading. Well, let's put it this way. If you're already running your business or if you're planning to run your business, we're going to have some words of encouragement further as we try to encourage, persuade, inspire the Black community to do a better job of taking care of the Black community. More in just a few.